Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Rodgers, who the only place he's going to take it to is the toilet bowl. And then you got Brett Favre, who will take it to the Super Bowl.
I do like me a triple butterburger with cheese and the works, you know, ketchup, mustard, pickles.
Could the package be really good? Yeah, I certainly would love that. But also, to say that, is this look like a rebuild? Probably.
If you think we're in a rebuild, then you got the wrong team.
QB1, man.
Come on, man.
Best QB in the league right now.
What's up, John Money?
He ran right in front of that light.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Janis.
And Janis, does he
stop it?
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
And you're listening to the Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joining this week with Billy and Todd. Boys,
hello, hello.
Greetings, gentlemen.
And we are back once again after a two-week hiatus. I think we recorded a couple days before family night, and now we get to come to you right after one of the worst preseason games I can ever remember watching, from the Green Bay Packers losing 2-27 to the Broncos. Not a scoregami. Same thing happened in 1957, but we won't talk about the game too much. We'll talk about training camp. God, we're only... the August 27th is final countdown day, so we're just about a week away from final cutdowns for the roster, which seems like it's really snuck up on us. But before we get into the game, anything new with you guys? Anything you've been thinking about the Packers? Did you enjoy watching the game?
No,
really?
Anybody?
That was a bad game.
Those commentators for the Broncos, at least on like the NFL Network coverage, I don't mind Steve Levy. He was okay.
Yes,
he was
fine.
I don't like Steve Levy, but maybe that's
But he
just
was
me.
Not as bad as... Who's their color guy?
I had to look it up. It'd be
some local guy.
It was something Williams, I think. He's a former Broncos player, but there were so many just funny things. But like, he talking about the players like complaining about the refs, or how he said AJ Dillon is a good back. He averages 2 yards a carry, which I, for one, enjoyed. But there were several other things where it's like every little thing, like Bo Nix had a bad play, and then the guy's like, you know, that wasn't great, but look at him. You know, he's pointing at himself. He's saying it was his fault. That's a leader. And it's like, Jesus Christ. This is getting the opponent's preseason coverage is always hilarious, because like when we have our own preseason coverage, we haven't had Kevin Harlan all preseason, at least. We will next week when he's at home, or assumingly so for the Packers. That's how it usually is. And then James Lofton or Rich Gannon back in the day was always a really good preseason analyst too, and he's like one of the CBS main guys.
Both Lofton and Gannon were on CBS, and I mean, Kevin Harlan is objectively one of the best play-by-play guys in the business.
Probably the best right now. I would say all around he might be the guy right now, because he's great for basketball too.
It was Ryan Harris.
Ryan Harris. Okay. Not Williams Harris.
William Super Bowl 50. Bum. Of a commentator. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. He was a very good.
Oh, not
the other
commentator.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, it was a huge letdown for me. So my favorite Packer hat, my lucky Packer hat, it's on the logo, that wool Packer cap. I got that in 2010 for Christmas. And after I got that hat, the Packers went on their winning streak through the Super Bowl into the next year when we went 15-1. It was like a 20 game winning streak after I got that hat. On eBay today, I almost got Ryan Pickett's game worn version of that hat. And someone fucking sniped me for you know, the last 15 minutes of the bid. I had it at $52. I'm like, I'm good. Countdown goes to zero. I look, and all of a sudden it's went to $92, and I lost it. Didn't even see it go up.
Jeez.
Oh.
I set my highest bid at $91, and of course someone like at the last minute put $100 in.
That's why you never celebrate before you hit the finish line. You never let up early.
I was just so confused. I thought I had it in the bag. At first, I was like, fuck, I actually ended up paying $90 for a stupid hat. And I was like, oh, wait, actually, I forced some other idiot to do it. But we can get into the game. I don't need to talk about any more dumb stuff. The Packers, again, losing 2-27. I don't know. Quick recap here. LaFleur was pissed after the game. 31 players didn't suit up. It was only like Javon Bullard and like Eric Winston.
Wilson.
Wilson. God, as I was saying it, I'm like, that's not it. Not a ton to take away from the game. Defense didn't look good. Both the quarterbacks. I mean, God, Sean Clifford, especially. I feel like we only read news about him throwing picks during practice. I forgot where I heard it, but he even talked to like the team psychologist after the first week of camp because he felt so bad about himself. And now it's like, yeah, I wouldn't feel really good if you were our second string quarterback. But Billy, what were your main takeaways from this excellent preseason game?
If anything happens to Jordan Love where he misses any substantial time during the season, I mean, we already figured that the team was screwed, but just the way that both quarterbacks played, it's like, I don't trust him to come in and even keep a game close, you know? Like, and I'm not expecting a backup quarterback to come in and be a world beater, but, I mean, at least be competitive and give us a chance to win. But, maybe it's a situation where we go 2-2 if Love misses four games, but it's like, I don't see any way that we'd be competitive with anybody with Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt under center for any extended period of time.
Todd, did you have any thoughts on the excellent game?
I also agree. We're in trouble. It's like, I mean, it's similar to like every other year.
We're not in trouble. We're not in trouble.
No, I'm saying if if Love goes down, we're screwed.
Yeah.
If our starting quarterback goes down, we're screwed, just like every other year as a Packers fan, except for like the one year when Rodgers backed up Favre and it was like, oh, actually he's good.
Well, I felt decent about Matt Flynn as a backup, you know. Again,
but turns out not, also wasn't good.
But he came in and held his own, led us to some wins that second time that Rodgers broke his collarbone. He kept the team afloat, and that's all I want out of a backup quarterback. But I don't even see, you know, Sean Clifford doing that for us.
Is there anybody of note that's available be a decent backup?
Names I would throw out there, one is Tannehill. He is still a free agent, which is a little surprising, I guess, but he did spend some time with LaFleur in Tennessee. The other one I would throw out, speaking of like Matt Flynn or, you know, a Hail Mary throw as someone who could just keep it afloat, Matt Ryan retired this offseason. I don't know if you could get him out of the booth. I believe he works for CBS now, but he's someone, too, who has a lot of familiarity with this system. And I don't know. That would be somewhat interesting. Colt McCoy just retired, too.
Justice Mosqueda had an article today about, you know, kind of these other options. And it seems to me that it's basically a bunch of third string guys elsewhere in the league that maybe don't get pulled forward onto the active roster, maybe part of final cutdowns next week.
Sure. Yeah, I guess the only one I'd only really be interested in someone who has some, you know, some pelts on the wall who could actually just step in and do it. I'd rather just stick with like Pratt and see if he can do something than bring in some other type of project to try to learn the offense. You know,
I just pulled up the list of top available. It's Tannehill, Hoyer, Gabbert, McCarron, Barkley, Simeon, Peterman.
The other name that I saw for potential cuts who could make it, I would be so down for Trevor Heinicke.
That was the one name on Justice's list where I was like, if Taylor Heinicke was available, I would love to have him.
Obviously, he wore number 4 for the longest time for whatever teams he was playing for. I know he did with the Falcons last year.
Washington.
But he is the definition of like a gamer. Like I didn't like going up against him because we would play close, shitty games those couple of years. And of course he came, I think it was the 2022 season where he beat us for whatever team. But yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about with this game that we're not going to cover just going through the roster here?
Boring game. Nobody looked good. Nobody looked fired up, I guess. Like that was the main takeaway for me, is it just looked flat.
And I get that, you know, the Broncos played a bunch of their starters and, you know, they're trying to get Bo Nix some playing time with their starting wide receivers and offensive line and whatnot. So I get that. Like you said, Spencer, we had 31 guys or whatever that didn't suit up. So it's like, I don't know that anybody expected us to, you know, play well and look inspiring, but it would have been nice to be just a little bit more competitive, I guess. I mean, even after, you know, the Broncos starters were gone, it's not like we started to look all of a sudden, you know, substantially better.
Yeah, and like you're talking there, it was kind of funny here in LaFleur after the game. He's like, oh, I wanted more grit and, you know, we got to look ourselves in the mirror. And it's like, I forgot. So even the guys who didn't play, you know, LaFleur wanted them to go through this whole like game day situation. So like, and it worked out because it was a Sunday game too. So going through the whole day so that your schedule is adjusting to that. So they warmed up and everything too. Matt had them all like wear their jerseys on the sideline like it's high school. You know, like even though they're not playing, he still had them all wear their jerseys. And it just reminds me of last year when I was souring on Matt a little bit. And I'm like, maybe he's just a really, really good high school coach. And seeing that, I was like, maybe I wasn't completely off. But moving on, we'll start going through the roster here, of course, going through the offense and defense for what's been going on during training camp, these preseason games, family night, and how everything seems to be going together. This time a year ago, there was so many more question marks. And now for training camp, it's like, there's maybe five roster spots at the end of the roster that are really up in the air. And, you know, we have a much better idea of what this offense looks like now after a full year with Jordan Love. But, oh, speaking of, you know, looking at Jordan Love, did you guys see his hair? I love the hair. It is huge. He looks like, it's like an afro. I hope that, God, I'm trying to think. It's almost like, not Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons, but it is the volume. I've never seen so much volume.
Oh, is he sponsored by, what's?
Head and Shoulders?
Is it Head and Shoulders? Yeah.
If he keeps it up, he might be on that track, because he went through, especially late in the season last year, some different hair movements. He let that fro out late, and then I think he put braids in later on. I personally like the fro. I just think it's so much cool, especially when you take the helmet off. And it just bounces out. That's pretty cool. So I'm pretty high on Jordan Love so far this preseason. I guess we get to, do we care about the one throw to Dontavian Wicks? That was pretty cool. That we have one good play this preseason on offense to really look back on at this point.
I mean, that's what you want to see out of your starting offense, your starting quarterback. Like, yeah, yeah, we're going to play one drive and then, you know, play number three. Boom, 65-yard touchdown, day over. Go get a glass of water and a Gatorade and a you know, couple of orange slices on the sideline. Good job.
Yeah, it was perfect.
About as good of a three-play series as you can have.
They scored before I could log into NFL Plus to watch the beginning of that game. Moving on, the offensive line, you know, a couple questions here. Again, last week or a couple weeks ago, we kind of talked about it. It's looking like week one, it's going to be from left to right, Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Zach Tom. And then what's interesting to look at is who the starters were on Sunday, because all of the normal starters were obviously out. So the second string line from left to right was Andre Dillard, Royce Newman, Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk, and Kadeem Telfort. The undrafted guy from last year who's been getting quite a few snaps at tackle. So that seems to be a pretty good bet for who's going to make the squad potentially. You know, Royce Newman is one of the lead guys for kind of the interior to back up along with Sean Ryan. So maybe they've seen enough out of Sean Ryan that we can move on from Royce Newman. The other thing of note is Andre Dillard only played 14 snaps. So he only was in on that first and second drive, I believe, and got pulled when everyone else stayed in. That's kind of showing you too that I believe they think he's going to be the swing tackle. And as far as the Packers go, something I've bitched about as long as we've had this podcast, this is the sixth year now, under Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich and Butkus, they always lean with the veterans when it comes to these questions on the offensive line and filling in. Obviously, again, here with the swing tackle, because we remember having Billy Turner in the playoff game, that Badger. God, I always forget his name. I almost said Luke Wagner. That's who I went to high school with. What is his name?
Rick Wagner.
You know, we'd go with those guys. The Lane Taylor started over Elgton Jenkins. We had Royce Newman starting over Zach Tom. They always go with veterans early in the year and then eventually get the younger guys playing. So that's what it seemed like. Seems like might be going on here. But offensive line, are you guys worried at the potential hole at swing tackle? I feel okay about the depth, but are you worried, especially after seeing how poorly the offensive line played on Sunday?
I mean, I would be worried if we see two injuries. I mean, we're in trouble. I mean, we could probably cover up one, but depending on where those injuries are, too, I mean, this could get messy quick. So if everyone's healthy, I feel pretty good, you know, but yeah, those injuries stack up and we're in trouble, which is could be true for anybody. But usually we have a little bit more depth that I feel comfortable with and guys that can kind of fit and plug and play anywhere. Maybe plenty of time. We'll see. But yeah, I would be nervous if a couple guys go down.
I'm a little surprised that Jordan Morgan hasn't played at tackle, really. Like, it seems like he's basically plug and play at right guard right now over Sean Ryan. I guess I would have thought that, you know, if they seriously drafted him as a tackle and see him as a future tackle, like, why wouldn't they give him some work at left or right tackle after the first couple of series against Denver? I get that he's, you know, technically your starter right now and you don't want to get him hurt, but I feel like the guy needs reps.
That is a good point. Tom Silverstein last week actually was kind of grilling LaFleur on that in the presser. It's funny because Tom's asking these questions and you could tell Matt was kind of like tickled by the line of questioning because he's like, well, it seems like it's something that they have been dealing with internally, that battle of do you give him snaps at tackle? Because like we talked about last week, this is the first time Jordan Morgan has ever played guard as far as college and I believe high school goes. So any snaps you get of him at tackle is taking away at guard. And I think they're just looking, like they're always talking about, for the, you know, the best five guys to get on the field. I would still think Jordan Morgan's long-term future is at tackle. But God, it's, you know, it's been, what, 2 years now of really giving a good go to get, not Royce Newman, Sean Ryan in there at guard. And he can't be showing the coaches enough to stick with them. The big thing, you know, is always trust on the offensive line. And it sure seems like they don't trust him to come in and pass block. We see him an absolute mauler in the run game, but with it being the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love back there throwing the ball, once again, it just seems like we're going to, you know, sit back with a safer pick with Jordan Morgan here too.
And I guess that's where I would have concern. You know, Todd, you were talking about, you know, the depth and potential injuries. I don't feel good about our center, our depth at center right now. I mean, if Sean Ryan is truly the backup to Josh Myers there, I mean, I don't know whose fault the snap on the first play from scrimmage was, whether it was Clifford's fault or Ryan's fault, but that doesn't give you any warm and fuzzies. And then if he is a, you know, truly a better run blocker, as we've seen, I get concerned, like, if we go up against a 3-4 team that's got, you know, a big defensive tackle, is Sean Ryan just going to get bull rushed into Jordan Love's lap, you know, all day long? So it's a little bit concerning for me that, you know, he'd be one of the top ones up. I don't feel terrible about Dillard, but he's one of the weak links, I think, whether he's at center or guard.
Dillard is the tackle. I think he's only played tackle, but you're saying Royce Newman?
No, I feel pretty decent about Dillard as a tackle, but
oh, okay, Sean, I see what you're
Sean
saying.
Sean Ryan, if he's, you know, kind of first man up on the interior of the offensive line, whether it's center or guard, that's where I get concerned.
Okay, yeah, and something else to touch on, Jacob Monk has shown up a little bit more as of late, the rookie center out of Duke. I believe he was a fifth or sixth round pick. I think he was a fifth round pick. But again, I think Andy Herman posted it. Just a center highlight. When he makes a play, like, you don't see center highlights. And this guy has just, he's a bulldog running people over when he makes a play. I'm sure he whiffs a lot too. But when he's there, he makes his presence known, which is, you know, just fun to see. And then the other guys to briefly talk about, Travis Glover, the sixth round pick, Caleb Jones and Luke Tenuno would be the guys on the roster bubble. So we'll see what happens there. You know, we've talked about these gargantuan humans for like 2 years now, and it might end up that they won't play a single snap for the Green Bay Packers. Running back? Oh my God. This is going to be a weird year for the Packers. So Josh Jacobs, obviously the starter. And God, it's looking like he's going to be the bell cow just with how this roster is shaping up and what we've seen from these running backs and the history that we have with these running backs. So I was curious with the carries. Look this up. So Josh Jacobs has been in the NFL for 5 years. He's had four seasons with over 230 carries. The Green Bay Packers since 2009 have had only four seasons with a running back going over 230 carries. So it just shows you that he can actually carry the load, and we haven't had someone do that in quite some time. Also, Rob Domofsky reported that Josh Jacobs turned down $3 to $4 million more from the Cardinals, Giants, and Broncos to stay in Green Bay. So that was pretty cool. I mean, he's only been out for that one series. I don't like seeing number 8 from the running back spot. I think I could, you know, get used to it a little sooner if Amari Rodgers wasn't the last notable guy to wear that number, but I don't know. I don't think we have.
It kind of feels like Jacobs, like Reggie Bush vibes to me, right? Like the single digit running back run all over. Not that they run the same, because they don't at all, but it's just kind of like gives that vibe.
But like a thicker guy like Jacobs needs two numbers.
Right.
Like a 28, which I think he was for the Raiders, that would be good. 27 is more like a shifty running back. 26 is Dwan Harris. 25 is premier running back. 24 is a defensive back. 23 is a decent running back. 22 can be a great running back, but I also always think of Pat Lee. 21 is a great running back number, and so is 20. I will stick with that. Any thoughts on running back numbers?
Any running back number in the 30s is a bigger bruising back. I think Amon Green, William Henderson, our old fullback.
33 is the fullback number.
Jim Taylor,
but you said 31. 28 was like a big power runner. Is that what you were kind of saying?
Yeah, I think the 8 shows power. It's a thick number, two big blobs.
Is that just because A.J. Dillon is thicker?
And, no.
Because we know he is not a power back.
I think
Chris Johnson was 28, don't forget.
AP.
One of the fastest guys in the league.
Ever. So fast.
What was Deuce McAllister? Was he 26?
I think he was 22, wasn't he?
God.
The Deuce.
Yeah, okay, that would make more sense. He's the Deuce if he had 222s. Other running back stuff.
He was 26.
He was 26. Okay, that was my initial
kind of dumb. He should have been 22.
Deuce Staley was 22.
Latavius Murray, I think, usually wears number 28. He's kind of a bigger back.
I think he was 29
he's a
in
big
Minnesota.
Dude.
Yeah, we'll get to him actually pretty quick. But the
Latavius
other running backs.
Murray?
Yeah, it... So A.J. Dillon, we got to talk about A.J. Dillon, although we have all these other backs. So A.J. Dillon obviously had a very terrible first showing in preseason. At that same point, Emmanuel Wilson on Sunday had a 3.2 yards per carry. Ellis Merriweather had a 2.2, Nate McCray at 3.7. They were all not very good. Also, RIP, we haven't talked, I think it happened a couple days later. Fullback Henry Pearson is no longer with the Green Bay Packers. The fullback story is once again dead for this franchise. Hopefully we'll bring him back again. But A.J. Dillon, I'm sure everyone saw the first preseason game. What was it? 3 runs in a row. We needed 1 yard. Could not get it. I was obviously a little upset. It was a preseason game, but anytime I can jump on A.J. Dillon, I will, even though he would probably fall over if I did jump on him.
Ooh,
but
got him.
It wasn't even the game. Did you guys see the clip of him a couple days later when he talked to the media?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, Billy, I can't believe you didn't see it. So here is a quote from it. He said, "I don't go on Twitter unless I'm posting something. If you don't live inside my house, your opinion is so secondary that I couldn't be bothered with it." Clearly not bothered here, AJ. "To anyone on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy and watch. And to that I say, AJ, you have a shitty podcast. I have a shitty podcast. You can't do what I'm doing, okay? So please stop podcasting. This is for, you know, out of shape
big boys.
Out of shape weirdos like me. You shouldn't be doing this." And I thought of this week too. I actually thought of this today. I don't know how it came into my head. AJ Dillon, I think he's going to be very reminiscent of the PT Cruiser. You guys remember the PT Cruiser, right?
Well, yeah.
Because the PT Cruiser, you know, right now I could say, oh, yeah, I remember PT Cruisers. those were kind of cool for a few years. Man, whatever happened to them? Yep, turns out they don't run well, and they just didn't last. And that's what A.J. Dillon is. He's a little blip on the radar in our Packers history. We'll look back and be like, oh, I remember him.
We wasted a second-round pick on that dude.
I should not have purchased that car. I should not have used a second-round pick on that running back. And that's what I think A.J. Dillon is going to be.
I think he does a lot in the community.
And PT Cruisers do too.
And he's the mayor of Door County.
Mm-hmm. See?
I think the most damning part of that quote, Spencer, is I only go on Twitter to post stuff. It's like, yeah, isn't that about 90% of the population? They just go on to post stuff. And it's so important for you to go on Twitter so that you can put your brand out there and post whatever garbage you want to post.
Yes.
I guarantee that he's still seeing all the bullshit on Twitter.
Oh.
It's like if it was so important to you that, you know, block out the noise and, you know, other people's opinions don't matter and blah, blah, blah. Like, don't get on social media then, period.
And remember, this is the same guy who last year through that like 4-game stretch when Aaron Jones was out and he carried the load. He stopped talking to the media. And before he did, he kind of said the same thing where he was like, I got to check my words here. And then he basically bashed the offensive line for not playing well, which to his point, they weren't playing very well at the beginning of the year last year. And they did not block very well for him that preseason game. But yes, Todd, you love AJ too, right?
I don't love AJ Dillon. I hope he winds up as the number 4 by the end of the season, which would mean he wouldn't be on the roster. That's kind of my thought. Emmanuel Wilson 2, and then Marshawn Lloyd when he's healthy turns out number 3 for a while. I think that's the way it shakes out. So I think he'll be gone late season. I don't know. That's kind of my thought.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I know that Marshawn Lloyd is kind of banged up. There's a question as to whether he's going to make the active roster, be put on IR to start the year. God, I sure hope that, you know, when the calendar flips to November, like, he's healthy and we start to get him into the offense, get him into the flow a little bit and give him some carries and maybe start to get him into a lather for the playoffs, have a 1-2 punch with Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, it's tough because the only thing we really needed out of this draft to move on from A.J. Dillon would be like a healthy rookie running back. Like, that's really all we needed was a top end, you know, top 10 running back to stay healthy. And you look at like Jalen Wright for the Dolphins has had a decent preseason, a couple other rookies. And it's like, God, it's all we needed because it feels like it's going to end up being Josh Jacobs, A.J. Dillon, Emmanuel Wilson, and Lloyd making the team. And then eventually Dillon might be released sometime during the season, but I don't know. It's this preseason where if there was ever a time to make a trade, I'm sure everyone loves, you know, all the wideouts that they have on every other team too, but if we could like swap a wideout or just pick up someone's backup running back, even like Samaje Perine on Sunday, he would be the perfect guy to pick up. And it sounds like he might be a roster cut down candidate for the Broncos. So I did
want to touch on Wilson a little bit. I think last year he was kind of known as, you know, the speed guy getting outside. I think he had that big run. Was it against Chicago in the opener? But he had a couple of runs on the inside where, you know, not all that productive, but he had that 15-yard run where he kind of bounced off of a dude. I mean, he runs hard between the tackles, so I'm kind of interested to see him get some more carries in the last preseason game here.
I will say, too, to that point, too, like, watching him run behind that offensive line yesterday, Wilson made a lot, not a lot, he made more out of nothing than A.J. Dillon ever does.
Yes.
Getting hit at or behind the line and turning out positive, even though it's 1 or 2 or 3, but like, those are negative plays if A.J. Dillon's in the backfield. Like, so that would, I guess, just to throw this out there, like, my pick would be to cut A.J. Dillon. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
Cut A.J. Dillon. He's so cheap. You don't really gain anything.
Right.
Right. And he does know the scheme and he does block okay. So it's like, is that why they're keeping him around? But like,
yes.
If you cut him now, put Emmanuel Wilson in there, keep Marshawn Lloyd, then you got 3 running backs and then you can just move on. And you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to do make magic on the back end with your roster and risk Emmanuel Wilson going elsewhere.
That's the worst thing about A.J. Dillon is He is fine. He is the base model of a running back. He can pass block. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. Just none of it very
well.
Yeah,
he's Aldi. He's Aldi running back.
Yeah, he's a Camry.
But and if we were to cut AJ
Camrys are known to run well.
Yeah, that's fair.
If we were to cut AJ Dillon next week, nobody would pick him up. Like, we could stash him on the practice squad if we really wanted to.
We can't, though, can we?
I think we could. I think someone probably would pick AJ Dillon up. I don't think he's ever going to catch on at another
Bummer.
On another team, though. You know, that's I just don't think he's that good of a football player. And again, I think I said it last year. I wish we could get like a next gen stat of running backs, miles per hour, like the first second after receiving the handoff. Because AJ Dillon, that's the biggest thing. I know the blocking's bad, but he just doesn't move when he gets the ball, and he just. It's like he
There's
sucks
no
him
burst.
In. There's absolutely no burst. We too much AJ Dillon talk. It's always too much AJ Dillon talk. Wideouts, top guys, we all know them. But that fifth, sixth, or seventh spot is getting tougher. Bo Melton, Grant DuBose, Malik Heath, and Samari Toure are the guys to talk about. Samari Toure, probably don't even need to mention him. I would be shocked if he made the 53. But Bo Melton, the undrafted guy who came out last year, speedster, pretty
the
tough.
Drops.
Pretty,
drops.
And it's not even training camp, it's preseason. He had another drop that he could have had on Sunday. He had a bad special teams play where I think Waylon had a perfect punt that was at the one, and Bo just lost it. But yeah, so him, Grant DuBose, Malik Heath. I think I would go with Grant DuBose and Malik Heath to get up to six and maybe move on from Melton. I don't know. He's been around the team for, you know, longer than the other two guys, but it's just the ceiling so much higher. Bo Melton's 5'11", 189. Grant DuBose is 6'2", 201. And Malik Heath is 6'2", 213. So DuBose and Malik have like 20 pounds and 3 inches on Bo Melton, and they're both pretty good at special teams. Melton's fast. He's kind of a good replacement to have if Christian Watson goes down, which would be shocking for everyone I know, but still, just in case, you got to be prepared for that. So I don't know. What do you guys think? It's tough. I wouldn't be surprised with probably nearly... I'd be surprised if we kept Toure. I wouldn't be surprised with anything else.
I think if Bo Melton had two less drops this preseason, I'd have him up there, toss up between Malik and Grant. I think Grant's been playing better lately, and it's, you know, what have you done for me lately? But with those drops, it just kind of feels like he's at the bottom of the list, and then you've got Malik Heath and Grant DuBose. They're great run blockers. We know this offense loves that. We know LaFleur loves that. The upside to both of those guys seems to be big, right? I mean, those guys can go in and replace. I just think that it's Packer prototypical, big, strong, you know, Bo Melton's fast, but like these guys are big and strong, and that's kind of what Goot likes. So
I think it's an interesting conversation, but I think for DuBose, I mean, let's remember he was a draft pick and he was hurt all of last year and we still kept him on the practice squad. So there was a reason we kept him around, and I think he's showing that. So I think DuBose is almost into lock territory to make the team right now. So then it comes down to Melton and it comes down to Heath, which are, you know, as we were saying, two different body types. I kind of like Melton, like you were saying, Spencer, in that role as kind of to spell Christian Watson. You know, Malik Heath, it feels like him and DuBose kind of have similar skill sets. Heath was always known for his blocking, and DuBose has been praised by LaFleur for his blocking so far in camp. So I guess, gun to my head, I would probably choose Melton just because of his potential backup role to Watson. And, you know, maybe he's a gamer too, you know, when the lights are shining brightest during the regular season. I mean, he came on down the stretch last year, and that's more than we saw Malik Heath do all of last year.
Heath had a couple games where he came in and got to block. I think he had a handful. Not as much as we thought. I mean, we were talking about Malik Heath and Emmanuel Wilson this time quite a bit during training camp. Moving on. I think between the three, I think DuBose is the guy I'd want to keep just for the upside, and he's a big boy. Tight end. You know, I said this when we recorded 2.5 weeks ago or so, that Luke Musgrave was not having a very lively training camp. And then after that, like, Wilde and Silverstein and Huber were all like, yeah, you know, he has been a little quiet. I would think it's because of the safety group that we have this year compared to last year, but he has popped up a little bit more of late. Tucker Kraft is back practicing again after finally getting off the PUP with that pec injury. Yeah, it's pec. Yeah, we went back and forth on that last week. Yes. It's not bicep, it's pec. Tyler Davis, the guy who tore his ACL this time last year, he hasn't looked great. Zach Cruz tweeted this out. He was the lowest offensive player for the Packers, according to Pro Football Focus. He also missed 5 out of 10 run blocks on offense, which is really bad. So that's tough.
He's supposed to be more of a blocker special teams guy anyway, right?
I don't know
that he's a great receiver.
Yeah, I swear to God, maybe Rich Bisaccia, maybe he's just like the kiss of death. All the guys that he likes are just kind of like rattlesnakes on the roster, because Amari Rodgers he vouched for, Anders he's vouched for, Keyshawn Nixon is still in relatively good graces, but he loves Keyshawn. There was that safety who the special teams guy last year. God, why can't I remember him?
Rudy Ford.
No, not Rudy Ford, the white guy who got
Zane
remember
Anderson.
Nope, he's still on the team. The the other guy. Against the Chargers, he punched a player or pushed a player after the play and was cut the next day. And then
I don't remember.
And then LaFleur, I gotta look it up. But either way, Bisaccia is like the kiss of death with all these guys, where he loves Tyler Davis too, and he hasn't performed very well this year. 2 years ago, I know, during
the
training
players
camp,
know. They're like, oh, Rich said my name in the presser.
I'm gonna just suck now.
I'm gonna have a bad day tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll
it's
see.
It's just weird to me that we've stuck with Tyler Davis this long. Like, even before his injury, he wasn't great. Like, he was just a depth piece. Like, I think he's just a guy. So he tears his ACL. Like,
well, you need just guys.
Cut him with an injury settlement. Like, we could have found somebody else, and Ben Sims maybe is that guy.
Billy,
but
this is just so rude. He was thrown on the IR, stuck with the team all year. As we posted, he was part of the team all season, not like David Bakhtiari, who ran away to fucking California, whatever. Tyler Davis was with the team holding up the personnel sign on the sideline and stuff. He's a good team guy, whatever. You need special teams
players.
Just like
AJ Dillon.
Yeah, you're going to have special teams players.
I understand
and this
that,
time last year, he was looking good and praised a lot. And right now, going off of what we've seen from Pro Football Focus and his blocking and stuff, it's like, okay, he hasn't been as good, but I don't know if you can say, why is he back here? You need bodies.
I get that, but I'm just saying, you know, a dude that wasn't all that great of a player before a catastrophic knee injury, like an ACL, like, I feel like I would have tried to find somebody to give him some run here in camp.
Sure. And, well, I guess we'll see here, too, because we do still have Ben Sims, the rookie last year that we poached from the Vikings, who he looks like a tight end. He's got the right build.
I like Ben.
And then that Joel Wilson guy, too, the undrafted guy from Central Michigan, he is 6'4". Guess what his RAS score is?
9.8.
4.32. I
swear. I was going to guess low. Yeah.
Every time I look up a RAS score of, like, an undrafted guy, it's always, like, green and in, like, 9.9-something or, like, 3.2 and just absolute dog shit. It's very rarely, like, in the middle. But those are the tight ends. I don't think there's a ton to talk about there.
I mean, we're keeping four there, right?
Three or four. I don't know. It'll be interesting because tight end and safety are kind of those positions where they double up and play a lot of special teams. We have a lot of good depth at safety, so maybe we can cut a couple bodies at tight end. I would think it's going to be three, though. I would say, well, it's Tucker and Luke for sure. And then after that, I'd feel good about Ben Sims, and I don't know. We might have to see something from Tyler Davis.
Yeah, I assumed we were going to keep four, but, you know, if we keep three and that third is Ben Sims, I have no issues.
And with that, yeah, it's all the offense. We will have a quick commercial break.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we are back with the defense. The defense is still not playing football, starting at the defensive line. God, we can probably whip through the defense pretty quick. I don't think there's a ton to talk about, especially defensive line. I mean, it's starting at defensive end. Gary Preston, Lucas Van Ness, Kingsley and Agbari, Brenton Cox Jr. He seems to have locked up a roster spot, I think. He had that sack against the Broncos. That was pretty impressive. He's had a lot of decent hype throughout camp. He's always kind of been that athletic dude again. He was the knucklehead out of Georgia and I believe Alabama last year, was undrafted, stuck on the 53-man roster. Florida. Fuck. I know it's always SEC schools and I just assume Bama, but yes, Florida and Georgia.
Just think like, because Florida's got more, like, there's more dirtbags on Florida.
There's more.
Just like think that.
But Georgia is like the king of the dirtbags.
Bad drivers.
Yes.
But Florida's. Yeah. Got the dirt bags.
Yeah. The other play I wanted to mention from Brenton Cox was on the interception. He whipped that right tackle and had a clear path at the quarterback. He just threw it before Cox got there. But man, he was coming on that one.
I think he's tied for first in pressures also in the two preseason games.
He does lead the league in pressures right now, I believe. But he is the perfect type of undrafted guy. Someone who got kicked off. You knew he was talented. He's like, send him to Green Bay. Just focus on football and maybe he'll turn into someone. So to potentially have fifth or sixth decent rotational pass rusher, perfect. I'll take you. Defensive tackle, Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton, Devonta Wyatt, Carl Brooks, and Colby Wooden seem to be pretty much locks. The other one that Bill Huber brought up is our old pal Jonathan Ford, who we've talked about the last few years. His third year in the league, he still has not had a single snap in the NFL. I don't think he's suited up yet. He was on our practice squad all of last year after being on the 53 the previous year and not suiting up once. Huber thinks he could push in the Ravens game in that finale, mostly because he's just such a big body and Colby Wooden is a little bit smaller. He thinks maybe they'll value that. And he has shown up a couple times. It's weird seeing him, too, because you're just not used to seeing such a big body with that. He's got some long, like, dreads coming out of the back of his helmet, too. It's like, I don't remember him having hair. And I'm like, oh, that's because I haven't seen him play in 2 years, and his hair was so much shorter then, and he's grown all of this in that time while not playing football. But, yeah, defensive line, I feel good about the group. I don't know if there's anything to talk about for, like, who's on the cutting block here. It's Jonathan Ford and maybe Brenton Cox.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brenton Cox makes a team just because of how flashy he is athletically. And then with, you know, what he's done these first two games is impressive. And it's kind of like reaching his potential type of thing. And it's like, okay, if he kind of unlocks everything, this guy could be good down the road. And then Jonathan Ford feels like he's like a guy that you're like, oh, like I want this guy to be good. Like he's like your, trash can full of dirt?
Jack Heflin.
He's like, he gives me like Jack Heflin vibes of like, I want this guy. But at the same time, you're like, does he make this defense? I don't know if he makes this defense.
It's like Caleb Jones. Just give me all the big guys. Give me all the fattest,
you
fastest
love the big
ones
boys.
You have. Yeah. Billy, you have anything to add there?
I think Cox is, you know, kind of like DuBose, I think Cox is pretty much a lock to make the roster. I mean, there's a reason that we kept him on the 53 last year and yet never suited up all year, because we see something in him, and we obviously had concerns that he would get back to the practice squad, so we kept him on the 53 all year. And I mean, I remember him flashing in the preseason last year, but I think he's definitely taken a step forward this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a full year being in a NFL program, and especially under Jeff Hafley. Jeez, I'm so bad with names. I'm bad with names. I am terrible today. Jeff Hafley's defense. Linebackers.
Shout out to Zach Morton for the safety.
Yeah, who we will never... That'll be a trivia question.
Love it.
That no one will ever get.
seeing that
he
dude
hit him hard too.
Seeing that dude wear number 60 and yes. get a safety, it was like I never expected somebody to be wearing number 60. I don't know that I can name a
well,
player
who's,
that has
you,
ever worn number 60.
Who do you think? No, you can think of one player who has used number 60. I know you can't believe in yourself. There's only one. He was with the team for a long time. He might be with the team still right now in a different aspect. Rob Davis, the old long snapper. He was number 60.
He did wear number 60. That's right.
God, what? How embarrassing, Bill. You didn't know Rob Davis, the long snapper from 2006?
Well, I was going back to like the 60s. I'm pretty sure like Leroy Caffey wore number 60.
You... That's almost, I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't even know what that.
I have the whole list if you want
them. Give us the notable ones.
Rob Davis.
Yep.
Ed Blaine.
Of course.
Kurt Allerman.
It's a good name.
This one everybody knows. John Anderson.
Oh.
Leroy Caffey.
Yeah, buddy.
Is that what you said? Yeah. I mean, I don't know any of these guys. Steve Knutson, maybe? I don't know.
Those are pretty good names.
Jim Laslavic.
Ooh.
That's a good name.
Bullock.
I mean, they're good names. I like the names. Charlie Schultz, not generic. Gene McGuire.
A lot of whites.
We don't have enough genes on this team.
Lance Zeno.
That's a good name. One.
That's like an alien. All right.
He didn't even play 1 year on the team.
Okay,
so
secondary. Moving on to the secondary, corner Jair, Eric Stokes, Keyshawn Nixon, Valentine, Ballantyne are pretty decent locks. It seems like a roster spot might come down to Robert Rochelle or Kalen King, the 7th round draft pick out of Michigan State, who started training camp pretty hot, but he's been grilled in these preseason games. He kind of reminds me of Shamar Jean Charles, the way he couldn't tackle.
Who are you saying has been grilled?
Kalen King. His tackling has been very, very subpar. And when you're playing in the slot mostly, it's a little bit more important. The other thing to talk about, which I think we kind of, it was the beginning of training camp when we first talked. So Valentine has been practicing the last couple practices that they've had after injuring his hamstring, I believe it was. Eric Stokes is the starting corner right now for this team, which is a little surprising. I don't know how long that'll last, but...
Until he pulls a hammy week one.
Right. I mean, I think we all thought going into this training camp, like, I would have been, you know, if he was on the roster bubble, I wouldn't have been surprised. And now for him to be starting is, you know, I'll take it. It's a free cornerback, I guess. Other than that, Keyshawn Nixon and Ballard have been playing in the slot, and I don't know if you guys saw Keyshawn Nixon tweeted, LOL, I'm the nickel, get over it.
Which, okay. Kind
of an odd thing to do. It's like, are you talking about Twitter? Are you talking about coaches? Are you talking about, like, the locker room? Like, you guys are arguing who's going to play the nickel, which I think all of us assume Nixon's going to be that guy because he's practiced there and he was that last year for us. But so far, Bullard, 50% of his snaps in the two preseason games have come from the slot. So they might be moving those guys around, especially with one Evan Williams, who's been playing really well too. It's one of those things that I think we were looking for, and it obviously hasn't happened yet, but with Jeff Hafley's scheme to be very flexible, get your most talented guys on the field. He's kind of working with that right now. But, I don't know, secondary, we have all the other guys too. Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, who had the pick in the first preseason game. Anthony Johnson Jr. What do you guys think of the secondary? It's pretty fun. We got a lot of young boys back there jumping around, picking off balls.
I want to say I was super impressed the first two preseason games with Robert Rochelle. I'm like, who's flying around making tackles in the secondary? It's like, oh, it's Robert Rochelle. And you're like, this guy's got a nose for the ball. Who is this
guy? It
almost
sounds like a Steve Brule name.
I love it, though. Like, he's getting his nose in there and making tackles down the field. When it's like, I mean, I don't know if you're watching yesterday, everything was bad, but the tackling was also very bad, too, yesterday. So that wasn't super fun to watch. But I don't know. Robert Rochelle's is fun. Eric Stokes being the number two. I mean, I would love Eric Stokes if he was healthy. I think we all would, right? Like, his rookie year, he looked like super promising, but he's just been hurt, and I just don't believe that he can be healthy, so I'm not even paying attention frankly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know.
Something else. It's anytime there's like a deep play to Christian Watson or Dontavian Wicks, it's always like Eric Stokes in coverage. I swear to God, every single time. Very rarely is it Jair. It's always Stokes, it seems like, or a safety. Billy?
What I'm excited to see is the way that Halfley is going to use some of these pieces, especially in the safety room. I know that we talked about it right after the draft, just with, you know, how versatile these guys are. You know, Bullard, whether he's playing the slot or, you know, he's playing, you know, deep safety, or is he a box safety? Like, I almost wonder if we're going to use him the same kind of way that we used to use Woodson, where it was like you never knew where he was going to line up. He might be on the outside one play, might be in the slot the next play, might be, you know, kind of a box safety the next play. Just move him around and let him wreak havoc. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I forgot how many picks we had last year. I think it was like 6 or 7, 8. It was
not good.
It was a single digit bullshit number. And this year I feel like we're gonna get quite, it might be one of the first times, not like many people have so dumb to view it from this prism, but like the Packers defense in fantasy football, I'm like, this might be a good year to actually have the Packers defense. I think we're going to cause a lot of turnovers, but I always get way too optimistic on the Packers defense. Remember last year we were talking about, violence or rushing. We were talking about how we were so excited that they were letting them loose, and now it's like, oh, wait, no, we're actually going to have a new defense too.
Yeah, this time it's gonna be a good
this
defense.
Time it's gonna be different. We've only been saying that for the last 15 years.
Well, he's,
yeah, no, this time it's true
because Joe Barry's gone. Oh, and
yeah, it's a 4-3.
The last thing, and probably could end up being the most important battle, it was last year, even though there wasn't a battle. It was good thinking there, Goody. Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph, man, they are both.
Did we not talk about linebackers?
We breezed over. Oh, no, I did go over them. Okay, Quay Isaiah, Eric Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, who's hurt, Tyron Hopper, who he led the team in tackles, but God, he is lost in pass coverage.
That's because everybody was open in front of him. That's yeah, the only right reason. I'm not trying to pick on him, but he is a run-first linebacker in a pass-first league. And you see his backpedal?
Bad.
It was really bad, and I want him to be good, mm-hmm, because I think he's got a nose. Like, he can hit, but it's like, dude, that dude's got a lot of work to do. I mean, push him down the depth chart for a year, and then maybe we'll see what we got out of him. But man, I'm like, if he's
let him
field,
play special teams, he doesn't need to backpedal on special teams.
That's true.
He reminds me of Abdul Hodge. Remember Abdul Hodge?
Oh, I was so excited for that dude.
Same draft class. I remember I have a hat. It was Favre back then. They'd always have like a different charity. I think that was when it was a couple years after Diana Favre was going through her breast cancer stuff. It was like the heart one. There was like a red hat. And it was their rookie year, so I have a hat with half A.J. Hawk, the other half Abdul Hodge. I'm like, this is going to be the inside linebacker duo for the next decade. No, Abdul Hodge had like a pick six against the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. And other than that, I don't think he did anything. I think he coaches at Iowa right now, Abdul Hodge. Todd, maybe look that up. I think I'm right on that, though. But yeah, I don't know. The other thing to talk about with him, he is the Rasul Douglas pick. So don't want to say, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but I hope he can put it together a little bit more. Seeing him in pass coverage, though, you look up and it's like, is this an undrafted guy? And then you're like, oh, wait a minute, that's Hopper. He should probably be a little bit better than that. Todd, you got something you figured out?
Yeah, he's the linebackers coach.
At Iowa?
Yeah, outside linebackers coach at Iowa.
Okay, cool. Did you have anything at inside linebacker, Todd? You wanted to bring it up. The only other thing is Christian Welch might be pushing for a roster spot. He'd be the only guy. He seemed to be the best dude on defense almost on Sunday. The other thing with him, he's from Iola, Wisconsin, and he went to Iowa. I would like...
He's from Iola, Wisconsin?
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I'd like to hear Brian Bulaga say Iola, Iola. That was my only thought.
But it's in Wisconsin.
Correct.
So Iola is a big car show place in Wisconsin.
My brother goes tiny. Like every year. I went for his bachelor party. It was a blast. It was so much fun.
You went to Iola?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been to Iola like probably 10 times. It's a dusty fairgrounds, like every other fairgrounds in the world, but it's gigantic.
And there's just piles and piles of crap with some treasure mixed in.
Yes.
Like, it's half the stuff you walk around and it's like, who needs this shit? And then somebody will walk up and it's like, oh, is this a window crank for a 1971 Ford Skyline? This is exactly what I need. And it's like
no, it's a 73. Even better.
Yeah.
I have four of those.
And it's like, oh, yeah. How much do you want for it? 75 cents? Okay, done. Like,
back to speaking of, you know, lost goods or trying to find something in all the crap. The Kickers. What would you do? Would you keep Anders? Would you go with Joseph?
Go for it on fourth down every time.
I would sign Mason Crosby. I don't care. I really just don't care. If you cut Anders and you cut Greg Joseph right now, I don't know if anyone's going to pick him up. Mason Crosby, I know he didn't really kick last year. He kicked for the Giants in like one game, but he was automatic from within 45 yards for us his last year with the Packers, and he was coming off of surgery during training camp. Kickoffs, that's one thing. If he can't do that, sure, off the board. But if we're talking...
Except kickoffs, you now need to land it between the goal line and the 20.
Right.
Well, now that we're talking it out, perfect. That's all he ever did. He never kicked it in the end zone. Very rarely did he kick it out the back. So maybe Crosby is the perfect guy to sign right now. Huh? What do you guys think? Am I dumb? Who else would you... Who else
yes,
would
you are.
Well,
yeah, dumb.
You guys feel good about Anders?
I wouldn't feel good about
Crosby.
You'd feel better. I think you'd feel better. If he made his first field goal attempt, he'd be like, okay, this...
Inside of 40 yards, great. But, you know, we can't go through the year with a dude that is maxed out at about 45 to 48 yards.
I would take... Because he could still boot at 55 yards, I'm sure. But no. within yes, absolutely. He's only 37.
Only 37.
Yeah.
I think
Mercedes Lewis is 41. Or
that
he will be.
A tight end. He's not a kicker.
Do you see the argument you were saying? You were saying it's easier to block and run through people at 41 than it is to kick a football?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, that's fair. Todd?
I think you ride the Anders Carlson wave because I just think that's the only option at this point. I don't think you're going to take a flyer on Greg Joseph. They're going to take the guy who has a glimpse of potential. I mean, look at his brother.
Yeah.
And just, like, ride the wave. I don't, like, it's not a good situation, but, like, who else is available? I mean, I don't feel good about Mason. I don't think Mason Crosby's an option. You know, and I don't know. You just ride Anders. That's it. That's what I would do.
Here's the thing. The only way Greg Joseph was going to win this competition was if he blew the absolute doors off of Anders Carlson. And he has not done that.
Yeah.
They're, you know, 80 some odd percent, low 80%, you know, on conversion rate this year. Like, that's Crosby's career average is 81%. So it's not like they've been world beaters, but they haven't been like just absolute garbage either. So Anders is still a draft pick. He's been fine. And, you know, if Rich Bisaccia really is this, you know, special teams guru, maybe he can coach him up and figure something out. I thought they changed like Carlson's routine or follow through or approach or something.
He said he tweaked with it, and it's clearly working wonders because he's worse than he was this time last year. So I don't know. We'll see. We would have been in the NFC Championship game last year if Anders Carlson could hit a 43-yard field goal. I would take a kicker who's pretty automatic at that, or just a vet. That's the thing. Even the ones that Anders makes are scary. They're not right down the middle. They're always like sneaking in. Like he's not precise with his kicks.
He doesn't give you that confidence when it comes off his foot. Like, no, that's easily good. I can go get another beer from the refrigerator now.
Yeah.
But so Mason,
Brandon McManus is available.
Ooh. Did he get, never mind. I think he did something bad.
Oh, did
he? Do you want to look up if he did something bad? I think he did something bad.
Okay.
So I looked up Mason Crosby. He was 5 of 7 in New York last year, 1 of 2 from beyond 50. The year before that, his last year in Green Bay, he was 1 of 4 from beyond 50. So he's made 2 of his last 6 from beyond 50.
Okay.
That's not really...
That's not good, but what is he within 50?
Let's see.
That's
so
way
last,
too many numbers.
Yeah, so last year he was 5 of 7, so he would be 4 of 5 from inside of 50. And then the year before that, he was 25 of 29, so 24 of 25 from inside of 50.
Okay. I mean, let's not forget, it's not just the field goals either. Anders finished the season, I think it was the last 6 games in a row, he missed a kick. And that's just fucking not for me.
I mean, yeah, that's not good. That was reminiscent of Crosby's
what was it,
down
2013,
year
2014. That was so bad.
2012 is what it was.
Yeah, that sounds right. That was every time he went up, you felt like he was missing it. And then he stuck with the team for another freaking 8 years, which is crazy.
Brandon McManus is he's in a civil suit for sexual assault on 2 women on the Atlas Air flight that took the Jaguars to London last year.
All right.
On the team flight?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, not available.
That's going to be a no from me.
Well, I should have known Todd would have had a terrible idea. Like,
Randy Bullock available. What did Randy Bullock do?
I don't. He's old.
Is Morton
he's
Anderson
younger than Brandon
still
McManus,
available?
Isn't he? Oh, he's older than Brandon McManus. Who?
Morton Anderson.
Yeah.
Didn't that dude kick until he was like 48?
He was probably the last person to play football with a single bar helmet.
I think you're right.
Love it.
Last couple things to talk about, wrapping things up here before we'll be back next week for what the roster cut down and maybe season preview. I don't even know what the schedule's looking like. We'll see. What do you want to talk about first? Want to talk about the white jerseys or you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers in the book?
Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers because I think the white jerseys will be a more fun topic to end on.
So, not a ton to talk about the Rodgers thing. So that Ian O'Connor, he's the author. He's putting together, he has this biography for Aaron Rodgers called Out of the Darkness, which is obviously a play on him for when he went in the hole for a week. But it's like, I feel like that's almost short-sighted of a title because it's like he's a weirdo in a lot of different ways than that. I want to talk about it because he's interviewed like 150 friends and family members of Rodgers. The first chapter is just about like Rodgers' grandpa, who apparently was like in World War II and crashed and was like a hostage and all that stuff and was able to, whatever. He lived a very interesting life. But I listened to Wilney and Tausch. They had the author on. And I just wanted to play this clip because this is the most Aaron Rodgers quote of all time. This is Ian O'Connor talking about speaking with Rodgers for the book and going through his falling out with his family and how a big issue with that was his attendance at one of his buddies. It sounds like a teammate, his wedding.
You know, I told him that how they felt, and certainly the parents to this day feel like Olivia Munn was largely responsible for this. He said that's not true. He talked some about his brothers and things they had done. It seemed the brothers, their sins, alleged sins, seemed fairly minor and petty to me. And Aaron's sins in their eyes of not going to a teammate's wedding at the last second when he was in the wedding party. I told him, I want you to know I'm going to criticize your brothers on one or two fronts, and I'm going to criticize you on this one front, not going to that wedding because your family was invited. And I said, here's why. It was your buddy's day. He gets to decide who's invited and who's not. And it's his day, not yours. You should have risen above your issues and gone to the wedding, particularly since you were in the wedding party. And he said, I respect your opinion, but it's wrong. And you're uneducated to the complexity of the situation. And you know, Doug, he's right. He's probably right. I wanted him to educate me then.
I just thought... I respect your opinion, but you're wrong and you're uneducated on the issue. It's just
I like it.
So fucking funny to follow up. So let's start with you, Billy. Billy, you love Aaron Rodgers, you respect him more than ever now. Are you going to be reading this book?
I'm going to be honest, I kind of have been thinking about it. I don't know that I want to buy it.
Join the dark side.
I'm kind of curious just to... I don't know. Like, I don't really want to say curious to see Rodgers' side because I still think he's a wackadoodle, but I don't know. Undecided.
Fair. Todd?
0% chance I read it. I haven't read a book since Hatchet.
Yeah.
So I am not going to read this book. But I will wait for people to tweet out quotes from the book.
I think that's coming up too. Yeah, this... I might read it. I told my fiance if she buys the book for me, I will read it. It would be, the second book I probably read since Hatchet. I read Playing for Pizza in high school. That's a John Grisham book, I think, about some backup quarterback guy who, lost the Super Bowl and went and played in Europe and some whatever. It was a fun book. But I might read it. Rodgers is just such...
Do they get the pizza party at the end?
He also worked at a pizza shop, or that was the sponsor of the team. I don't really remember, but it was a good book. I'll say that. I don't remember anything that happened, but I can't read anymore. I can't sit down and read a book. That just sounds like torture to me. Anyways, I might do it for this, but there was also an excerpt. I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter that he's made up with his dad and all that shit. I don't know. I'd be curious to hear some of these things, but again, it's just...
Side note.
Yep.
His dad has always been on his side. If you ever follow,
mm-hmm.
what's his name? Ed Rodgers.
Very.
I mean, his takes are hot, but he is always pro Aaron. For what it's worth, very fatherly of even when he wasn't getting along with Aaron, he would say how shitty McCarthy was and just bash everybody else for his kid. It was just like. It was definitely a guy that gets ejected from a Little League game. That's Ed Rodgers. Calling balls and strikes, arguing about him with the ump, and then getting ejected because his kid got out. I don't know. It was funny.
Very early days of this podcast, Kyle and I were aware of that account, and we didn't want to talk about it on the podcast because I don't know how many people knew about it. Eventually, Mike Florio found it. And it's really him, but especially when this podcast started in 2019 and before that, yes, he would just dog McCarthy. He would say things. And what I thought was funny from the interview too, is Ian O'Connor was saying that he thinks that they're going to Rodgers and his family are going to get together pretty soon. Him and his dad briefly talked at whatever golf event that Rodgers was playing in. But O'Connor said that he thinks once the dad and Rodgers amend, the rest of the family will follow. And then he said that he thinks it's going to be pretty soon because Aaron and Ed are very similar people is what he said, which is very funny to think about because when Kyle and I were reading those tweets back in the day, we're like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. And now you look at Rodgers and you're like, oh, okay. I can see how they're a little similar and very firm in their beliefs on things. So that part was very funny to hear.
The other thing about this book is, as with anything with Aaron Rodgers we were talking about it before the podcast too, with his immunized comment, he's always very measured in what words he uses and how he phrases things. And at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff where it's okay, well, Rodgers is saying one thing. Everything that's been reported in the media to this point has been this other thing, and the truth is probably somewhere down the middle. There is no way that Rodgers is 100% truthful in any of this.
Right, and Ian even said in that interview, too, that most of it is petty. He said there's 14 things, 12 of them are petty. And even talk about his brothers. I think it's that they were running, a merch store selling Rodgers, gear. And I can only assume it wasn't okay. It wasn't ran by Aaron before they started doing it. That is completely me making something up that I don't know if it's true or not, but I could see Aaron getting upset about something like that. The other thing, fun thing, anything else on Rodgers? No, you guys want to move on? Yeah. Billy just loves the Aaron Rodgers talk. Packers unveiled their white jersey and helmet combo. They didn't call it a blizzard or something or a whiteout. They were calling it something, but... It's
because Minnesota just released their whiteout jerseys or whatever like 3 weeks before.
Well, they did the same thing last year, though. The Vikings had a whiteout. Every team has some white alternative. The Bengals have that cool white Bengal tiger getup, too. So every team just has all these alternatives, the Nikeification of the NFL, it seems. But the big question here, do you guys like the jersey? Should the helmet have had a yellow stripe down the middle?
I don't know that I think I'm fine with the way the helmet looks.
Okay.
It doesn't really bother me that it doesn't have the yellow. I mean, I could go either way on it. I don't really have a strong opinion
on that. Okay. Extremely strong take. That'll get us viral. Billy?
I hated the color rush. I hate the whiteout jersey.
Yeah.
Would the helmet have looked a little bit better with yellow on it? I think so. But I still wouldn't have liked it. I still don't like it. I mean, that was the thing when we did the color rush, because we were forced to do the color rush. I was like, that's what I want to see out of the Packers. Just plain white jersey, introduce white pants. Like, nobody gives a shit about white pants and white jersey. It's like, we're not, you know, selling any merch off of this or whatever. It's like, we're just doing this because we have to. And now we've gone and the 50s throwbacks are borderline, you know, color rush at this point. But I still have never liked, you know, all these color rush and gimmicky things. I don't mind throwbacks because they're at least rooted in history. But making up these alternative, you know, uniform combinations just to sell more merch, I've never been a fan of.
But someday this will be history.
Ooh, yeah, think of that. We'll be old and we'll be telling the young, hey, I remember when. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
And the kids will have like a, they'll have their own helmets and they'll be like, oh, this is the 2024 helmet. We'll be like, that's not the 2024 color rush helmet. I know, because it doesn't have yellow on it. The 2023 had yellow.
I do sadly agree with Billy. I do like keeping it somewhat rooted in history. I'm fine with this one. This is about as far as I want to go with like an unhistoric alternative jersey. I would have liked the yellow stripe, but some people were getting way too upset with that online. The thing that I always push back on, it always pops up on Reddit like once a year, it feels like, where people are like, we should do this jersey. Or God, you'll see it on Twitter, like the weird almost lime green Packers jersey. But the one that I really hate is the yellow. They can never do a yellow. Ugh, bleh. That's so Walmart. That is a Walmart
worst
jersey.
Take.
Mm-mm.
No
way.
The best.
Find a you want to look like NDSU? What?
Oh, those are awesome.
Are there any good yellow jerseys?
The Rams yellow jerseys are awesome,
but
too.
But that's with blue. That's a great complementary color with the white. We can't do that.
I love the all yellows. That was going to be my end of this discussion. Was when I would play, every time I play Madden.
Oh, no!
If the person's taking a long time, I switch my full, everything is yellow color rush. It's the best.
Can you do that? Can you get a yellow jersey for the Packers?
I haven't played Madden. I played Madden 24, so you think you could still do it.
That might be your worst take you've ever had.
How about if, for this year's color rush jerseys, if there was no yellow on the uni? So they got rid of the yellow stripe everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that would look better than what they have now.
I would be fine with that too, but I think that would probably be more difficult to get the yellow out of the...
I don't know that, you know, the green and the white is a great look by itself anyway.
Yeah, I don't
I
love
think you, I think
the
you
whites.
Need the yellow.
Yeah.
I think you need a lot of yellow.
Yeah. I do like... Well, since we're still on
top,
it...
Yellow top, yellow bottom, yellow
socks.
Oh
my God.
What do you guys think of...
I can't believe you guys don't like those. Those are electric.
The yellows? I don't even think there's a put-together get-up of it. I just always remember seeing, like,
what?
The yellow 50 AJ Hawk Walmart jerseys with, like, the Packers logo on the shoulders. But that shit's ugly as hell.
Google NFL Packers yellow color rush. It's the full yellow get-up.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. How about this? What do you guys think of the current throwback with the 50s green jersey? I don't think we ever talked about that.
The current throwback?
Yeah, the green one with the cool stripes on the side.
I'm a fan. I like that one a lot, actually. I like that the current helmet, I mean the classic helmet, still fits with it. You know, kind of unlike the throwbacks that we had in the, what was that, like the 20 teens when we had like the blue with the brown helmet, like that one, not so much, but
yeah.
I like this one. It still feels like the Packers to me. And okay. I did buy one of the hats with the G and the B logo on it.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. I like the current one.
Todd, I just Googled the yellow jerseys. These are fucking disgusting. These are absolutely gross.
They're the best jerseys.
They look so... They look from like an alternative universe. It looks slow.
Where the Packers won 6 Super Bowls with Aaron. Yeah.
The thing is, like, the yellow, it would be so hard to get the color yellow on the jersey to match the color yellow on the helmet.
They did it. It looks amazing.
It's Photoshop.
It's Photoshop, and I mean, on the one that I'm looking at with Aaron Rodgers...
If you can do it in Photoshop, you can do it in real life.
The yellow on the helmet looks more gold than the jersey. That looks,
you're never
going to
get
yellow.
It gold.
But that's it. I just don't... I don't like it.
Okay.
I love it.
I agree. I hate it. It looks...
It's 2-1.
The green numbers look pretty bad, too. With that, hey, look at that. We went over an hour, 15 minutes, maybe, depending on how the edit goes. What an episode. We'll be back in a week and be pretty close to the 53-man roster. If not, we will have the 53-man roster. I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope. Cutdown's what, 27?
I believe so.
It's my mom's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to Mrs. Billy.
Mama Billy. Let's say Mama Billy.
Thank you.
I felt like that works better.
I didn't know what to put for like a last name because we don't reveal last names on this show anymore. So I had to go with Billy. Oof. I've once again made things awkward on this podcast. Do you guys have anything else? I'm going to assume not. Nope. We're just shaking our heads.
Nope. We're good.
Okay with that. Eric Hoskinen, please don't sue us. Quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. And hello, welcome.
Hello to the Poor Men's Packers Podcast.
Hello, it is all of us. Here we are.
I forgot my name was Todd for a second.
It's Todd talking right now. He's doing the intro as he always does. Keep going. Hey, oh, okay. All right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast. Our worst Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Todd, joined by Billy and Spencer. Boys.
It would be funny if we just did that and then never talked about it. All of a sudden, Todd.
We should do
the
it
host.
On like the bye week.
Yeah, we should.
I'll ask all, you just give
you,
me questions to ask
if you
and
remember,
I'll intro all the questions.
If you remember, we can do that.
I'll just try to do it exactly like you.
Yeah. Really cool inflections in your voice. Really good. Yeah. Really interesting.
This is me speaking.
Why did Tom Sil? Why was Ryan Wood? I hate Ryan Wood. Why is Ryan Wood once again a curmudgeon?
Yes, the curmudgeon.
Yeah, his take after the game was I wasn't that bad. It's like, no, you could,
what do you mean?
Or that the Packers came out on top. He said the Packers were the winners because they rested all 31 of, like, their most important players. It's like, okay, you are the absolute
then
worst.
Then anybody could have won then, if that's winning. Yes. I don't... Yeah.